I will keep you apprised as to, we're planning on church tonight. It doesn't look like that storm's, if it's coming, is going to be here early enough to interfere with that, but if it should, I will send out a text message on Remind and let you know what's going on there. But so if you don't hear anything, plan on church tonight. Well, it's good to have the Hardeckers with us again. They have served in the Philippines for 6 years, but it's been about 8 years since they were last here when they were on deputation initially. And folks, just pray for me, all of our missionaries. This is a as difficult as this is for us, this crazy stuff going on, it's even more difficult for these folks.
Amen.
As restrictive as things may have been at times here, it's nothing compared to what some other countries have been facing. And it just really, it's tough for these folks.
Yeah.
Away from home, away from family, and in foreign areas. So just please, we every week on the prayer list, we've got missionaries there. Please take a moment each and every day to mention these missionaries by name. And I try to put something there if something specific pops out from their recent letter. But if not, just pray for them. God knows their needs.
Amen.
So pray for them. So brother, first Marcia's going to come with a song for us.
Well, again, thank you, Grace Baptist Church, Pastor Codner. Appreciate the faithfulness and the prayers and the support and just being partners in ministry in the work of the Philippines. And if anybody from Grace Baptist Church, a member of the church, is in good standing of the membership of the church, you're welcome to come visit the Philippines after the pandemic. And otherwise, you'll be quarantined for a number of days in a hotel at your expense. And then when you get out, you'll still have about 4 days of quarantine at the home before you're free to roam around and do whatever, if you're legally allowed to do that. So anyway, that's where we're at right now. So, but this won't last forever. So, you know, a good liberal says, you know, what they say about every crisis, you know, they say something like, take advantage of every crisis, right? Well, I think a good Christian, don't let a crisis go to waste, right? Yeah, that's what they say. So a good Christian would do the same thing too. We should take advantage and tell people about the Lord. And so we had developed two unique ministries during the pandemic. It's called Waiting in Line Ministries. Say, what's that? That's when you're waiting in line to get into the supermarket or the bank or wherever, and you might as well just hand out literature while you're waiting in line. So take advantage of those things. And then we did street preaching. We didn't do street preaching until during the pandemic, when live streaming inside an empty auditorium kind of felt like, you know, what was that? So you still got to yell and preach when you're a preacher. So we went to the corner of the streets and yelled and screamed over there. So that was fun. That was wonderful. Let me just say also thank you for the Betty Lukens Hearts and Hands Ministries, ladies. The Betty Lukens afforded us basically a couple nights of cutting parties for the ladies. You know, the ladies are into cutting. Not that type of cutting, but the kind that cuts Betty Lukens out for use in Sunday school, and that was fun, and that was enjoyable. We actually customized a cabinet dedicated to those pieces so that they're all organized. You know, Marcia is the organizer in our church ministry there, and she told us exactly how the cabinets ought to be, and now we've made it to specification, and now all the literature and all the displays and all the flannel graphs and all that's all organized. Amen. And so I thank the Lord for that, and appreciate your sending that over, a complete set, and just your communication. You guys send us cards, and I would say about three churches do that. We have 30 churches about supporting us, and three churches communicate to us, and you're one of them. Because of that Hearts and Hands cards, they come in at the right time, even in the pandemic. Well, during the pandemic, it was funny when we got the birthdays and the anniversaries, and it came in about like 2 or 3 months later, you know. But it always comes at the right time, and we always look at the signatures and say, hey, you know, the halls are still here, look at that, you know, and folks around here. So appreciate the Hearts and Hands Ministry of this church, and how you communicate to us. It means a lot to us. Am I forgetting anything else, Marsh? She's the one that's going to berate me later when I don't, you know. Do you have anything else? Do I need... Oh, yes, we had to suspend the children's Sunday school ministry again because of the lockdown. So no kids are allowed outside anyway. So we can't have children's ministry at this time. So our folks at the church last night basically decided that they'll be handing out literature in lieu of Sunday school. And then, Lord willing, when the surge dies down, probably sometime in the next 2 weeks, Lord willing, they'll open up again to level 2 lockdown, which will enable us to have the kids over, 20 children over with face shields. Amen. And face masks and everything, and have modified Sunday school again. I'm praying for a miracle. So I'm asking the Lord to lift the pandemic so that we can get back to crabbing about, you know, the things we used to crab about. You know? I hope that salt, you know, I hope we don't take our fellowship for granted anymore after this, you know. All right, 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 10. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 10. And we're pretty much going to stay in the book of Thessalonians, bounce around a couple other passages here, but launching from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 10. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. The Bible says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Now keep your finger there and go over to 2 Thessalonians, the second epistle. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 5. And notice the same flavor, the same words here nearly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 5. "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Now, in the Bible, there are some things that we should be urgent about, right? We should be urgent about giving a gospel witness to someone who doesn't know the Lord. They need to know who the Lord is. And I mean, they need to know about Him ASAP, because we're not promised our next breath anyway. You could be here today and gone today. So we need to be urgent about our witness. We need to be urgent about confessing our sins before the Lord. When we sin against God or fail Him or do the wrong thing, we need to go to God immediately and confess that sin before Him and ask for His cleansing and forgiveness of our sins. And I'm so glad that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of our unrighteousness when we go to Him in prayer. I'm thankful for those things. But there are some things in the Bible that we should be waiting on. Amen. And be patient in waiting about. And one of them has to do with the coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. By the way, aren't you glad that Jesus is on His way back? I'm thankful for that. I'm glad for that. You know why? Because this is not our home. I mean, earth, you know, it's nice and everything, but heaven is our destination. And our captain of salvation, He's on His way back to snatch us away, those who are believers, those who are born again, everyone who's saved, even if you're a backslider saved, God's coming back for you. Jesus will come back for you, take you away. He said long ago, He said, "Let not your heart be," I mean, are you troubled today? "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." And by the way, that's He's preparing a place for us. And if you're born again and saved, He's coming back. He says, "I will come again." Oh, what precious words from the Lord. And that's what we're going to think about. I want us to have a right relationship while we're waiting for His Son. How to have a right relationship while waiting for His Son. And this is from the missionary Paul writing to the second missionary planted church in Thessalonica. So, Paul had three missionary journeys, and on the second missionary journey, well, the first missionary journey was basically Turkey. He planted some churches in Turkey, what we would call Turkey today. In the Bible, it'd be like Asia. They call it Asia. And then the second missionary journey, he touched Europe for the Lord, planted the first church in Europe, which was Philippi, the congregation of Philippi. Then he planted Thessalonica. A church in Thessalonica. That would be the second European church that he planted there. And so he writes to the Thessalonian Christians there, the believers there, and he wants to encourage them. And all the first epistle of Thessalonians is all about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he wanted to clarify that doctrine, that teaching. And so I believe that we have a responsibility to wait patiently for the coming of Christ. But how should we wait? What should we do while we're waiting for His coming? Well, there are four things that I think will help with that. So let's pray and ask God to bless, and let's see what the Lord has for us here this morning. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this missionary letter, how Paul wanted to encourage the church concerning the coming of Christ, and what we need to be involved with, Lord, prior to the coming of Christ, the any moment happening of the rapture, Lord. We certainly pray that Jesus would come soon, Lord. This world is just hurting, and Father, we pray that Jesus would rule and reign and bring true justice and true peace, Lord, certainly won't come from the White House, certainly won't come from the Malacañang office in the Philippines. But Father, we set our hope on Jesus Christ, the returning Messiah, Lord, someday. And so, Lord, we pray that you would have your will and way in this service, Lord. I pray you speak to hearts, Lord. I pray for those who don't know Jesus as Savior, that they would come to receive him as Lord and Savior before it's too late. And Father, for us who do know Jesus as Savior, Lord, help us to live for him evermore in this wicked world. We ask that you bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, well, Luke chapter 19, keep your finger in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. Go to Luke chapter 19, verse 13. Luke 19, 13. How are we supposed to wait on Jesus? Are we supposed to twiddle our thumb, look up in the sky, and wonder when Jesus is coming back and say, is it today, you know, and just keep our heads stiff up in the air looking for him? Is that what we're supposed to do? No, no. Are we supposed to watch for who the Antichrist is? You know, waiting for the Antichrist. You know, who's this guy? You know, when's he going to show up? Could it be this guy or that guy or this guy or that guy? No, I don't believe so. I think Luke 19 tells us exactly how we're supposed to wait for his son, wait for the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 19, verse 13 says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Occupy means to take your position of service, to operate and to move and to function. As we're waiting for Jesus, we're to function, we're to do something as we're waiting for him. And I believe these four things here have to do with all that as we wait for him. Number one, we must live in a right relationship to the local church. We must live in a right relationship to the local church. Go over back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And look at verse number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 1. All right, the Bible says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. So Paul planted this church, and he intends that every Christian, every born-again believer, becomes a part of the church. They receive Jesus as Savior, they get baptized, they get added to the church, and then they get busy for the Lord. And notice how the church of the Thessalonians, it says, is which is in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, church is a special place. This is big stuff in the eyes of God. This is the main thing. And that's why we're in the Philippines. We're there not just to spin our wheels. We're there. We want to establish a New Testament Biblical Baptist church that's going to plant other Biblical Baptist churches as well. Why? Because this is the heartbeat of God. This is where God wants you to be dedicated to, committed to. You ought to be, every Christian ought to be close to everything that his church is doing. Oh, yes. More than a tie, you know, when people say, hey, what's your tie to the church, you know? More than an association, more than an affiliation, more than a denominational link, you know, whatever that is. Church ought to mean more. How you treat the local church is how you treat the body of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Well, let me ask you a question. Where do you provoke each other to love and to good works? Where does that take place? It takes place in the church, you see. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Where does that take place? In the church. Now, I understand providential hindrance. If you can't make it to church, that's not willful neglect. But I'm wondering about those who say, I'm born again, I'm saved, but I don't want nothing to do with church. Oh, well, willful neglect, not good, as the manner of some is. It become a habit. for some to skip church, not be in church. It's not good. The closer we get to the rapture, the closer we should get to the church. Look at 1 Thessalonians. You're in chapter 1. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how that ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven. So where are we supposed to serve as we wait for His Son? Where do you use your talents and gifts? Where do you use your abilities and skills? In the church. Amen. Here, right here. Let your light so shine right here. Can I tell you, Spring Mills needs you. State College needs you. Yeah. To be the Christians you ought to be, to point them to Jesus Christ. The Philippines needs you. Boy, I tell you what, 13 million people living in Metro Manila, we could use some more missionaries. 110 million people in a country slightly larger than Arizona. We could use some more missionaries. And I appreciate y'all have multiple missionaries to the Philippines. Thank you. Let's pray that we see more. The best way to live the Christian life is to be part of a biblical Baptist church. Amen. If you're right with your church, you're right with the Lord. But if you're wrong with the church, you're also wrong with the Lord. Come on. We must live in the right relationship to the local church as we're waiting for us. Number two, we must live in a right relationship with our fellow Christians. Our fellow Christians. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at chapter 3, verse number 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Now, notice what it says in the Scriptures here. We're to abound in love one toward another. You know, the church is a unique place. You're not allowed to hate another Christian. You're not allowed in Scripture to hate another Christian. You're to love one another. You're to abound in love as you're waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, let me tell you something. I know Christians have grudges, not pleasing to the Lord, not pleasing to God, division in the church. Oh, no, not pleasing to the Lord. Something we ought to take care of before the rapture, that's for sure. And if you don't take care of it now, guess what? Where you will take care of it? Before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be embarrassing? To come up to the judgment seat of Christ with hard heart towards another brother or sister in Christ? All because I can't get along with his quirk? We have a personality difference, you know? We're not talking biblical doctrine difference. We're just talking personality. You know, I can't get along with that. He's a weirdo, you know? Or she's weird, you know? We're all weird. I don't know. Maybe you're not, you know, but. You have the gift of perfection. Have you been graced with perfection? I didn't think so. And so we need to let go of hard-heartedness towards somebody. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, go over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, the Bible says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Can Christians be ashamed before Him at His coming? Absolutely. How? Well, in the context of 1 John chapter 2, it's definitely about your love life. If you love the world more than you love Christ, you'll be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you love yourself more than you love your brother or sister in the Lord, you're going to be ashamed before Him at His coming. That's what the Bible says. You see, how's your love life? I'm not talking about your love life, you know. I'm talking about your love relationship with the Lord. Are you growing? Are you abounding in the love of God? We must live in a right relationship with the local church. We must live in a right relationship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and with all men, the Bible says. Third, we must live in right relationship with prayer. a right relationship with prayer. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Amen. I mean, do you believe that? The end of all things is at hand. It's around the corner. The end of all things. Oh, I believe that. It's been going on since the first century. Jesus can come back at any moment now. It's ready to take place. The end is at hand. Now, here's what he says in 1 Peter 4, 7. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Be ye sober and watch unto prayer. The closer we get to the rapture, the more we should be praying. Oh, look at Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13 and verse 33. Mark 13, verse number 33. Take heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Oh, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. We know he's on his way. We know he's going to be back. We know the trumpet's going to blow one day, and all those who are born again will be gathered up with him together to meet the Lord in the clouds with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. And then, of course, God, there's going to be a 7-year lockdown here on earth. It's going to be a 7-year lockdown that this world has never seen. Now, we crab about 550 days of lockdown in the Philippines. But pity the person who's going to be here for the 7-year lockdown when the Antichrist is going to rule and reign here on earth. The Bible says no man shall be able to escape on that day. I mean, now they're, you know, thermoscanning us for our temperatures in our heads, but eventually that's going to change. I mean, we woke up, you know, we went to bed March 14, 2020. We woke up the next day, there were military checkpoints on every corner in the Philippines, in Manila, at least in Metro Manila. Checking our temperature, making sure we have passes so we can move and mobilize and get around, do what we need to do. Like, really? Like, for real? Yeah. Like, y'all know about this? Yeah. Overnight, y'all had this planned or something? Anyway, it certainly wasn't a committee from the church that made that decision. You know, church couldn't move fast enough for that. But this world is gonna be a dark place when the Holy Spirit of God and the Church of God is taken out of the way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And of course, you know the epistle of 1 Thessalonians. Every chapter has to do with the coming of Christ. Look at what he tells us to do at the end of chapter number 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. We must be in right relationship to prayer. Now, I don't know if the statistics is correct, but there was an evangelist who did a survey of, I guess, a number of Christians and asked them how long or length of time do they pray. And he found this. He said that the average Christian prays 15 minutes a week. About 15 minutes a week. If you believe Jesus is coming back, it ought to cause you to pray more. We ought to be in prayer. We ought to live in right relationship with prayer. Last, we ought to live in right relationship with the souls of men. The right relationship to the souls of men. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. And the Bible says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" At his coming. The greatest joy in heaven are going to be the people that we've led to Jesus Christ. I mean, to see them next to the throne of Jesus Christ. Look, I know Mr. Seferino, the man that we worked with for a couple years, senior saint, you know, went home to be with the Lord. I got the privilege of leading him to Jesus Christ, cracking open the New Testament, showing him Romans, 3, Romans 6, Romans 5, Romans 10, just down the line, and asked him, would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior and turn from all this false religion and false things that you've been believing and trusting in and put your faith in Jesus alone? And he said, yes, absolutely. And he bowed and prayed and asked Jesus to save him. And at that point, I mean, he quit going to the wrong church. And I guess that's a sign that he truly prayed to receive the Lord as his Savior. You know, I can't judge him, but I can see growth, spiritual growth from that point on. Wheelchaired himself to church. I think one of the greatest joys is when I get up to heaven and I see Mr. Seferino next to Jesus Christ. And others, too. We had that one lady, Josephine. Remember Josephine? She came to us, had terminal breast cancer, terminal, stage 4 breast cancer, led her to Jesus. She accepted the Lord as her Savior, couldn't baptize her neither. She was in bad shape. But she prayed to receive the Lord as her Savior, and she died not long after that. You know, she's in the presence of God forever. Oh, what's more exciting? Is it more exciting to see a football game? No. What's more exciting? Ohio versus whoever, you know? I mean, of course Ohio win all the time. I'm kidding. I'm not even an Ohio fan, honestly. I'm a Ravens fan. I'm kidding. No, those are prisoners. ex-cons. I'm kidding. I am not into football, honestly. They ought to be in church instead of throwing pigskin on a Sunday. That's just my opinion. All right. But here's some motivations to think about the souls of men. Think about the sufferings of Christ. Think about how Jesus suffered on the cross. And you know why he did that? Oh, for the joy that was set before him. Jesus saw you while he was dying on the cross for you. He died, the Bible says he died and tasted death for every man. And the sufferings of Christ ought to motivate us to bring people to Jesus Christ. How about the brevity of life? How about the brevity of life? Do you know that coffins come in all different kinds of shapes and sizes? People need to know the Lord, don't they, before it's too late? How about a red, fiery, hot, burning hell? Is that motivation enough to tell people about the Lord? Amen. How about the great commission of Jesus Christ and how some are listening for the call, but God already gave a command to go? It's already there. You don't need a call. You need to go. The commission of Jesus Christ. How about that? How about this motivation? The rapture that can happen at any moment now. At any moment now. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 says this, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to his works. Work shall be. Oh, the rapture of the believer is motivation, folks, to get to winning people to Jesus Christ, the souls of men. How are you in relationship to the local church? How about your relationship to one another? How about your relationship to prayer? How about your relationship to the souls of men? Are you missions-minded? And are you missions-hearted today? How are you waiting for his son? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I appreciate your listening. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. In this moment, no one's looking around. Nobody's watching anything. Just bow your head and close your eyes. I just want to ask this question. Is there somebody here you can honestly say, Brother Bill, I've never received Jesus as my Savior? Truth is, I don't know for sure if I'm saved. I don't know that for sure. But I'd like to know that for sure. I truly would like to open my heart, receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Can someone help me with that? Look, I'm not going to embarrass you, won't call you out, won't single you out, I promise. I just want to include you in my prayer. Can I see your hand? Pray for me, Brother Bill. I'd like to receive Jesus as my Savior. I'm not sure about it, but I sure could open my heart and receive him. Can I see your hand? Anybody at all, pray for me. I'm not sure, but I'd like to be sure. Anybody, just slip your hand up, and I'll acknowledge you in prayer. All right. Very good. How many would say this? Brother Bill, I'm not perfect, but I know Jesus is my Savior. He's the one who saved me. He's the one, the reason why I'm born again. I know that for sure because I received him. I trusted in him. Can I see your hand? Would you slip it up as a testimony? I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, by grace through faith. All right. Wonderful. Thank you. God bless you. Not everybody could raise their hand, and I appreciate your honesty. I really do. And I know there's people here praying that you would come to know the Lord. All right, give you one more chance. Brother Bill, pray for me. I'd like to receive Jesus as my Savior. When I think about the burning hell, when I think about Calvary, when I think about the brevity of life, when I think about what God wants me to do, I need to get saved. Can I see your hand? Would you slip your hand up and I'll pray for you? God bless you, young man. Anybody else? Pray for me. I'd like to receive the Lord as my Savior. That's a great decision. That's the best thing you'll ever do, is to take him. Because when you take him, God bless you, young man, another young man. Listen, when you receive Jesus and you have him come into your heart, he'll receive you. He'll take you the way you are. God loves you. He'll take you. Anybody else? Pray for me. I'm not sure. I'd like to receive Jesus as my Savior. All right. Thank you, Pastor, at this time.
We're going to sing number 337, Trust and Obey. How's your relationship with the things that Brother Bill spoke about this morning? This church isn't perfect, but it's God's will that you be a part of a church. Believers aren't perfect, but it's God's will that we love one another.
Amen.
In spite of us. It's God's will that we pray. It's God's will that we strive to see souls come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. So you stand and sing this hymn, number 337. If you raise your hand to be saved this morning, you come and someone will take an open Bible and show you how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven, know for sure that you are on your way to heaven. Maybe you